To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, to him be honor and glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Amen. Today the Holy Spirit directs our attention to the Word of God as we find it in St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, a portion of our Gospel reading for this morning, beginning with verse 4 as follows. And when a great multitude had gathered, and others had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." These are the words. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, whose gospel never fails to bear a crop of fruits in the lives of his believers, dear fellow redeemed. Sometimes the same seed can produce different crops. Right now, corn is the crop of choice among Midwest farmers. If you spend any time back there, about this time of year, you can look over acres and acres and acres that are planted in beautiful growing corn plants. Vast fields of corn, all green and gold, and all the plants the same height, and every plant exactly like every other plant, with one or two exceptions. Every once in a while, you'll see a giant. It's an interesting thing. You're driving around, and out in the middle of a field of corn, everything's all the same, but there'll be one or two plants that are maybe a foot or 2 feet taller than the ones around them. And these taller plants don't escape the notice of the seed companies either. They actually have employees whose sole job it is to drive around and find these exceptional plants, take seeds and samples from them, hopefully with the idea of breeding more super plants like them in their future seed products. Sometimes it happens that the same seed produces different crops. Today we have before us the familiar parable of the sower that Jesus told. I say it's familiar because most of us have heard it a number of times, and it tells the story of a sort of test plot, a plot that has four sections. In the first three sections, there are very poor crops, so poor, in fact, that no harvest is produced at all. But in the fourth section, there's a bumper crop that produces a rich harvest. Now, if you were driving past a test plot like that, you might very understandably come to the conclusion, well, the first three plots must have had poorer quality seed. That's why they produced a poor harvest. That's not the case in this particular parable. In this parable, the seed is the same. The seed is the Word of God. The four different outcomes represent the different ways in which God's Word is received in this world. Let's probe a little more deeply Jesus' parable of the sower as we consider the theme, same seed, different crops. We'll look at the failed crops of unbelievers' sin and also at the bumper crops of God's mercy and grace. You know what a parable is, of course. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It was a teaching device Jesus used frequently when the multitudes gathered around him. Well, you might ask, as the disciples once did, why did Jesus speak in parables at all? Why didn't he just come out and make the point that he was trying to make instead of wrapping it in a story or a parable? Well, there was a specific reason. And when the disciples showed confusion about this parable of the sower, Jesus explained what that reason was. His disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." The majority of the Jews who flocked to hear Jesus' words were not believers and would never be believers. They had long ago rejected God's promise of a Savior. They no longer looked for the Messiah who would redeem them from their sins. What they wanted was an earthly king. In Jesus, who was very popular by this time, they saw a wonderful person who could seemingly produce food out of thin air, who could perform miracles of healing. They thought this person might finally be the one who would kick the hated occupying Romans out of the land of Palestine and restore political power to Israel. Repentance was the furthest thing from their minds. They had by this time hardened themselves in sin and unbelief. That's why Jesus taught in parables. He didn't want, as he once said, to cast pearls before swine. Listening to these parables, that small remnant of believers who remained among the Jews would hear the precious truths of God's word and understand, while those same truths were hidden from those who had already hardened themselves against the gospel. Jesus explained to his disciples, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God." Modern farmers, as we all know, use seed drills. And those implements place the seeds exactly where they want them, at exactly the appropriate depth of soil, leaving exactly the correct space in between them. It hasn't always been that way. At the time of Jesus, they would commonly sow seed simply by having a person walk through the field with a bag of seed under his arm and scattering it broadcast. This broadcast method of sowing was a far less accurate means of planting a field, obviously. But you know, it's a pretty good picture of how the word of God goes out, even in our day, isn't it? Today, the word of salvation through Christ is literally broadcast far and wide throughout the world. Think about all the media through which the gospel goes out. All the churches, all the literature, the radio, the television, now the internet. I really wonder sometimes whether there could possibly be very many people left in America who haven't heard the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. I doubt it. And yet there's such a multitude of people who don't believe the gospel. And that's the point of this parable. The seed is the same. The seed is the word of God. It's the same good news about Jesus that the Holy Spirit lays before the hearts of all people. And yet the results are different. The way that seed is received are very different. Same seed, different crops. Whenever the seed of God's word fails to take root in the heart of a person, then that's because of sin. And what an awful crop failure that is. But it's a disaster that happens far too often. In this parable, Jesus first talks about how the seed was scattered by the wayside on the hard, trampled down path where everybody walks. It's obvious that no seed is going to grow there. Jesus explains, those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts. They're the people who have already become so hardened that the word can't even penetrate their hearts. There's less chance of them believing the gospel than there is of grass seed growing on a slab of solid concrete. They're people who aren't convinced of their own sin, or who recognize their sin but have hardened themselves and simply won't repent and be saved. Same seed, but because of sin, a failed crop. What about the seed that fell in the rocky soil? Jesus says they are the ones who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. I think we've probably all known some people like that too, haven't we? They're the fair-weather Christians, the enthusiastic new converts who are all excited about the gospel at first, but when things get tough, drift away. They soon cool off and leave the side of their Savior. They may be the confident Christian young people who go off to college firmly convinced that their faith is so strong it could never be threatened, and who emerge from their university experience having been robbed of their Christian faith. The Christian couple who stand at the Lord's altar and vow faithfulness to one another till death us do part, but who, when faced with marital problems, end up taking the easy route of divorce, often giving up their faith at the same time as their marriage. All of these reveal a hidden shallowness of faith, an unwillingness, as Jesus said, to bear the burden and the heat of the day. Once again, same seed, failed crop. The sower scatters his seed, and some of it falls on thorny ground. The ones that fell among thorns, Jesus said, are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Now, maybe the neighborhood where you live isn't adorned with all the trappings and trimmings of wealth and affluence. Perhaps there's no million-dollar homes or BMWs on your street. But even in the most modest surroundings, the cares, the riches, the pleasures of this life will creep in on a person and will eventually crowd the Word of God out and manage to choke the Word of God. People who get so wrapped up in the things they have and getting more things that pretty soon the Word of God is shunted so far to one side that it no longer signifies. Certainly, I've heard the excuses often enough, and it breaks my heart. Yes, Pastor, maybe someday I'll stop in and talk to you about going to church, but right now, fill in the blank, I'm too busy working on my new business or whatever it is. Or I haven't got time. Or even Sunday's the only day I have to sleep in, and I owe it to myself to relax. The thorns and the thistles and the weeds of this world are crowding in on that heart and crowding the Word of God out. Once again, the same seed, but because of sin, a failed crop. And what about you? Right about now, you may be thinking, well, none of that applies to me because, of course, I'm the good ground. And you're right. You are the good ground. That last section of the test plot where the seed springs up and bears fruit. But remember, you weren't the good ground to begin with. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that put faith in your heart and made you into the good ground where the seed of God's word could grow and prosper. The Holy Spirit who gave you your faith in Jesus. Because by nature, you too deserved the full condemnation of God for your sins. Scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All, including you, including me. All the more reason for us to rejoice then as we do in the offertory that God has created in us a clean heart and renewed a right spirit within us. We can't take credit for the fact that the Lord has caused his word to grow in our hearts and to bear fruit. All of that credit belongs to God himself. As Paul said, God has shown us the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Yes, we believers are the good ground. In us, God would have his word grow up and bear an abundant crop of the fruits of faith. But if there's any bragging to be done, let's be like the Apostle Paul, who refused to brag about anything in his extraordinary life other than in his dear Lord Jesus. And here we have a friend about whom we truly can boast. Jesus, who made the agonizing journey down the streets of Jerusalem, bearing his cross so that he might redeem you and me from our sins. The season of Lent ended not many weeks ago. And during Lent, you recall, we followed those weary steps of our Lord in our heart. We saw again how much of he gave of himself in order to free us from our sins. We saw the brutality and the torture that he endured so that we might experience the gentle love of God. He bore the punishment so we wouldn't have to bear it. He endured the shame so that you and I can stand before God's throne of judgment unashamed. He suffered so that we wouldn't have to. With Paul, you too can boast a Savior slain, your best friend whose holy life and innocent death have earned for you a crown of everlasting glory. Jesus finished explaining the parable by saying, "The ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." Yes, you're the good ground, and it's God's grace that made you so. Yes, you are the ones with the noble and good hearts, and it's God who gave you that heart of faith by His Holy Spirit. In the explanation to the third article, our confirmation students learn that I believe I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, nor come to Him. But how did it happen? The Holy Ghost called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In His grace, God turned your heart into the rich soil that willingly received His word. That precious word grew in your heart and is still growing right down to this day. Simply by being here in God's house and listening to the preaching of the gospel, you're nourishing that plant of faith inside your heart, helping it to grow and be enriched. The gospel is already bearing a bumper crop in your heart, and by the grace of God will continue to produce all sorts of fruits of faith throughout your lifetime until the day when you will meet your loving Savior face to face. I've told the story before about my grandfather, who was a farmer in Iowa. He raised corn in the days when anhydrous ammonia was commonly used as a fertilizer, and he used to say that it's when the crops were looking particularly poorly that you had to pour the ammonia to the corn. And that's my advice to you today. Your family Bible is still there at home, where it's always been. If your faith has been on the slide lately, if you've been going through a difficult time in your life, if you've just felt the weariness of making it from day to day, then by all means, my Christian friends, pour the ammonia to the corn. Open up your Bible. You've got a ready-made, life-enriching fertilizer right there in the Word of God that will nourish your faith and strengthen it and help you to overcome the obstacles that confront you in life. And what about this congregation as a whole? We've been blessed. We've got a lovely facility here that we recently upgraded. We've got the perfect location. We've got the most fertile mission field there could possibly be here in the South Puget Sound area. But don't forget the most important thing. We've got the seed. We've got the Word of God. We have the bountiful, effective seed of the gospel of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. We of all churches in the CLC ought to get out there with that seed and plant it, and pour the ammonia to the corn. God grant that we may make full use of the precious seed of His word, and that we may in our lives and in our community bring forth a bumper crop of His grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise.